Conversation by Julie Benetti and Susan Barbaro is a production of EI Publishing in association with EI Alliance, copyright 2018. Visit eipublishing.com for more. Music for this series is courtesy of New Threads, copyright 2018, from their self-titled album, available now. I am here with Susan, and we are in Exeter, New Hampshire. Why are we in Exeter, New Hampshire?
Because we're staying far away from Salem. It's Halloween, and everyone is looking for ghosts in haunted places. So in true style of Susan and Julie, everyone goes left, we go right. Everyone's looking for hauntings. We deal with energy. We're not looking for ghosts. It's not that we're saying no, but we're looking for the energy. So we decided we're going to go and follow the trail of UFO sightings. And that has led us to Exeter, New Hampshire, right outside of Phillips Exeter Academy. And we're across the street, and it looks a little ominous, from the Exeter Historical Society. And we were going to go in there. We're going to scope that out, because online I also was able to find local area UFO sightings map. We're going to pick up 108, and that picks up 150, which is the site of the most authenticated UFO sighting ever in history.
Right.
And it's been tried to be debunked. They didn't actually officially say what they think they saw, but that's not what we're here to do. We're here to go follow the energy. And if you want to know more about it, it is the Exeter, New Hampshire UFO event, and you can read about it.
And I think they call this area UFO Alley. Now, you said right as we passed Phillips Exeter Academy that there's been some sightings around there, so I'll be looking up and down.
And all around!
This is Julie, and I'm here with Barbara, the Exeter Historical Society.
I'm Barbara Rimkunis.
We're lucky to run into you, and we want to pick your brain about anything Exeter and also about UFO Alley.
Okay. Well, here's the first Historical Society disclaimer when it comes to ghosts and the supernatural. We deal with history here, so we deal with the actual lives of people when they were alive. Generally, once they're gone, we set them on their way. So I'm not going to be able to give you any information on hauntings or ghosts or anything like that around town, because we let other people do that. We can tell you about how people live.
You know, anytime you have anyone, I think, that's into any kind of historical events or the town and people who lived here, energy that we kind of talk about, there's a trace of it. And I'm not going to ask you to go into that because that's not what you do. I would be more interested in just the general history of the area, of the town, and what makes it so special.
Exeter has been inhabited for thousands of years by people. The original people who lived in this area came because we have a waterfall in the center of town with two rivers that merge. We have a salt river that merges with freshwater river. And what that means is that there are large schools of fish that come up the river once a year to breed. And so that brought people here in the days before Europeans arrived. And so all of our major roads in town, all the ones that you probably drove to get here today, are laid out native trails. So if you want to talk about energy, when you are walking around this town, you are walking the same paths that people have walked for thousands of years. Whether you feel it or not, you're doing that. And then, you know, we've had a number of very notable people who've come to town. You can walk around town today and you're walking in the same places that Abraham Lincoln walked.
That's so wild.
Know how he walked from the train station to get to the downtown. So if you walk that area and you feel like you want to have a Lincoln moment, and I do, you can walk down the street and think, I am walking along as Lincoln did, and he probably walked a lot faster than me because he was like a foot taller than me. George Washington visited here. So, I mean, there's things like that, I think, that you feel like you're walking along in the presence of a lot of people who've come before you, whether you feel them or not. They were here.
And why do you think all these very prominent people came to Exeter?
Well, we know why some of them came. George Washington visited here very briefly, only for a few hours, because he was doing a tour of the New England states shortly after the Constitution passed. So that's why he was here. It was kind of a fact-finding, thank you for providing the final vote to get the Constitution in, as New Hampshire did. Abraham Lincoln was here because his son Robert had come east to go to college, and he got to Harvard in 1859 and failed all of his entry exams, and so he needed to cram for a year. And Exeter is one of the things they're known for, is we have a very prominent prep school here, Phillips Exeter Academy. So Robert was attending Phillips Exeter Academy, and when Abraham Lincoln came east to give a speech in New York, he headed north to Exeter to visit Bob and see how he was doing. He made a series of speeches here. So we know why people come here for a variety of reasons. Nothing supernatural bringing us here.
You can give the historical fact, yet the fact that they have come here, I find fascinating. We came here, I've been doing some work not too far from here, And I keep seeing the sign for Exeter. And I'm like, we have to go there. And then I come here and find out all these other people have been here. And again, you can give us the historical relevance for why they were here.
Right.
Yet I think we kind of sit back and think the fact that they were here
right.
says something.
Right. And especially how you said walking the path
You're walking
that they
the
walked.
Path, right?
I mean, because for the energy and also what they say about the particles that are in the air and, you know, there's particles that have been around for thousands of years. It's kind of funny in that sense where exactly what you said, what a cool way to get into the energy of Abraham Lincoln and take that walk from
Absolutely.
The train
station.
Absolutely.
You can let your head just go into that space and think, what were people thinking when they were walking here? I mean, thousands of years ago, it's hard. Obviously, the landscape has changed a great deal. There's a more of a built landscape today than there was. But when Lincoln was here, quite frankly, the downtown wasn't hugely different. Many of the buildings that are down there today were there at the same time. He would have passed right past the First Parish Church, which looks like a Currier and Ives painting. He spoke at the Exeter Town Hall. So, wow. I mean, those places were here. So when you're having your Lincoln moment, you can remind yourself that even though you see cars and trucks going by and the road is paved, Lincoln was still looking at some of the same buildings
very
that you're
cool.
looking at. And that's just a great moment to
I think
have.
There's something very significant to the fact that you said the two rivers, one's salt water and one's fresh water. That to me is fascinating. You don't hear about that often.
Right. What it says to me is it brings the larger world into the local world. And when I think of the Exeter River, which comes flowing down from the town of Chester, and it comes into the center of town, and there's a kind of a, we call it a waterfall. It's really more like rapids. And for a long time, it was dammed. We just removed the dam.
Oh.
That's to me, that's local. It's a smaller river. It's a slower river. And I think of that as everything that we see here. The other river, the Squamscott River, which goes out to Great Bay and ultimately out to the Atlantic Ocean, goes out to the larger world. That is going to go all the way to the Atlantic. It's going to go all the way out to the larger world. And it comes in and out and in and out with the tides every day. And it meets at the center of town where Exeter is. And Exeter is here, as I said, because the native population came here. And they were here seasonally, mostly in the warmer months, which are few. And they fished here. And they must have had that same sense. But that you could, you know, we could go all the way to the, our connection to the real world. So right now, we have a library that's right at the falls, which is a perfect placement for something that is a place that you can go locally that you can read and expand your mind out to the larger world. So there's a great sense of that that particular part of town. When I start a walking tour here in town, I generally try to start it there or in some way focus around that part of our town.
Where would you say within Exeter, where would it be a good place to get just the feel, like you said, of walking like Abraham Lincoln and George Washington? And
I'd walk the downtown.
Okay.
I mean,
that's
I go down to go walk at Swayze Parkway, which is beautiful. And there's a boardwalk behind the Water Street back here where all the shops are, where you can actually go out and kind of look at the river. And that gives you a good view of, you know, what we're talking about with our center of town. So that's a nice spot. Straight up this road, not our oldest, but one of our older cemeteries is located, where we have a lot of the Revolutionary War soldiers are buried there who served from Exeter. The bigger one is over on Linden Street across from the YMCA. It's funny because the YMCA faces the cemetery, so when you're up there
working
and you're
out,
working out, you're looking at the cemetery, and it's really quite inspirational. It's like, I'm going to get a couple more years. So those are good places. Whenever I want to sort of commune with Exeter Pass, I find myself winding up down by the river. It is the lifeline of this town.
This is really interesting. I know a little bit more about the energy that you're even
getting. I know.
You got to give that. Well, we just deal with facts, which I completely understand. Yet, I don't believe anyone who is so involved in anything cannot get that experience of something.
You have to get the feel. Yeah.
I'm
with you on that.
Yeah.
I just have to watch out because I get a lot of haunted house people who come in and want to do, you know, can we come in and get the energy in your building? I'm like, we're an old library.
Oh,
nobody
ever
died here. There's no ghosts in my building. And I can't, when you work in my field as, you know, I'm an archivist and curator here, I frequently have to go out to old houses. People ask to go through them and look at them, and you're looking at the beams and the structure and such. And if you are troubled by an idea that there's a ghost in the house, you would not be able to function because you'd be afraid to go everywhere. And so you have to kind of, you have to create a firewall in your own head and say, nope, nothing
well,
here.
Well, anything can make you go crazy.
Yeah. You can get spooked by anything.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah,
you don't have to go to a haunted house. I'm telling you, some places I've gone at night, it's dark. I don't know, haunted or not. I'm actually a woman.
It doesn't even have to be, you know, a well-lit hallway like in a hospital. And you can see
it. Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to be here.
An old Italian woman told me one time,
It ain't the ones that are up there you got to worry about, Susan.
I was just going to say that. I've heard it's the living you have to be careful.
It's the dead tend to not bother you. That energy or vibe that you're talking about is something that I think is very real, because no one lands on this earth a blank slate. People have lived here before, and that history affects all of us.
Yes.
So you're not just walking into it. I mean, think how stupid we'd be if we didn't know how things were done before. What would your starting point be? You'd be reinventing the wheel every single day. You know, and how people manage certain things, just everyday life, would be much, much different.
I will be very just blunt. Something brought these prominent people here. And again, you can go to specific, because so-and-so, and it brought us here.
Yeah.
It brought me here. So what is it that brought us here?
And our signage lured you in.
The signage, that's it. It was interesting talking with you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Interesting. This is
interesting.
Great.
Thank you.
Hey folks, Julie and I do a whole lot of talking, but you know, a lot of that comes from self-reflection and really looking at our lives and things that didn't make sense. And we sat down and figured out the questions that were important to us and some of the philosophy behind it. And we put it together in a journal.
Ooh.
Check it out.
And who doesn't love a good journal? Get your favorite pen and just get writing.
Hi, this is Julie. I recently went away to Canada and I was excited to bring a handful of books, but I couldn't read a thing. Has that ever happened to you? All I wanted to do was play. If you travel, trivia is fun. And we have a lot of different trivia for you. We have Think You Know the Kabbalion? You can test yourself. We have trivia on Halloween and Samhain. And we have Christmas trivia. So the time is right to test your brain and get moving. And if you want to do it today, you can go to Amazon and download the ebooks.
Talking to Barbara.
Oh my God.
She really helped us out.
She was amazing. So, you know, it's interesting. You can't help but talk about the history and then get excited about it when you think about they were walking here. And the fact that the town hasn't changed much, she said, for thousands of years. I mean, there's some changes, but...
That's true, because, you know, the great part about that is you're walking and you're seeing the same building that Abraham Lincoln saw.
And, like, what I find fascinating is that George Washington was here and Abe Lincoln. You get two presidents, I mean, the first president of the United States and then Abraham Lincoln. Two huge presidents were here. I mean, you don't have to tell me anyone else who was here. Doesn't matter. If they came, and that's politically driven, that's just amazing.
Well, again, we're in a very political state.
I'm ready to pass the exit of Town Hall where Abraham Lincoln spoke on March 5th, 1860. This is where he was. He was right outside here. So we're going to walk down and we're going to follow the trail that he would have followed. Walking into town. You know, I wonder what was going through his mind, Abraham Lincoln, as he was walking down here. He was probably excited to see where his son was staying.
Of course, my question was, I wonder what he was reading. Maybe he was practicing his speech or running it over in his head. Who knows? Or maybe he was reading
something. I wonder who was there.
Something.
Because depending on who was there, would maybe say if he was nervous. Or...
I mean, the interesting point in all of that, for me at least, would be the amount of people around versus... The nervousness. I mean, there weren't that many people here in the world. So, I mean, it's not like he had hundreds of thousands of Beyonce fans there.
So would he have been nervous?
Well, if you're giving a speech today, you might think about Lincoln's Gettysburg Address and get nervous. But who did Lincoln think about? He was just giving a speech and probably, who knows, talking from the present moment of the energy.
So I would think he would be walking. And of all the schools, his son came here. What lured them here? What lured Washington here? What lured us here?
Well, at first we started segmenting out to look up UFO Alley. It's just energy. It's always energy. And spontaneously, from at least my standpoint, I never know what's going to occur. So I just kind of go in the present moment of it. And it's interesting.
Yeah.
It was an interesting conversation with Barbara.
Yeah.
And interesting to walk to the train tracks and walk back as if Abraham Lincoln.
And it's not that far a walk. But you definitely could get a feeling of it just walking through here.
The waterfalls right next to the library.
I keep going to a salt water and a freshwater body of water merge. I mean, they're completely different bodies of water, and then they merge. You know, I actually don't even go to history. I find the geology fascinating. like what would pull two different sets of rivers together. It's the geology, which of course runs to the energy, right? I don't think they say there's a vortex here, but I think there is.
Sure,
I just think there's so much interesting history. And then a lot of these houses are very old, and a lot of people were born and died here. So of course there's just a lot of energy.
Yes. A big thank you to Barbara Rimkunis from the Exeter Historical Society, who filled us in on all the scoop energy-wise, good energy-wise.
Great energy. I say we go back to the car and then start heading down 150 and see what we see.
Okay, in UFO Alley. Hey, we just connected in with 150 and my first words were, this looks like a landing strip.
Oh, yeah, it sure does.
And there's fields on both sides. Really, you could land anything here. Not that any alien craft needs a landing strip, but...
No. But look at over there, like the trees, like this all of a sudden has a weird feel to it right here. Maybe it's what you said, you just kind of convinced me.
I pulled in the energy.
Like, wow, a whole different feel. Oh, doesn't it feel different to you?
It definitely feels different from Exeter Center. We were in Exeter Center, and now we are off the beaten track. The road is newly paved, so it makes it even feel more like a landing strip.
So I bet you driving this at like 2 in the morning would be a whole different...
Flying it at 2 in the morning would be better. A long stop at the Country Brook Cafe, where we have a shout out to Julie Lynn, who was great sharing some interesting information about Exeter.
She hasn't seen a UFO.
And skiing, and she hasn't seen a UFO. So we're heading down more into UFO Alley to check it out. In the Country Brook Cafe, we were laughing. There were a bunch of kids that went running by, and we didn't know why. And I said, maybe a UFO is chasing them. And you said, oh, great. Now I gotta go to the ladies' room and I'll miss it. Here we are, heading into UFO Alley. So on that map, there were three stars that kind of went in a row. And here's, we're still on South 150 that showed where
that
UFO
person.
Sightings. Or
there's a lot of people here. There's a lot of houses here. Mm-hmm. It's a busy road. I mean, there's cars all lined up behind us, so it's not like, oh, it's a... You know, it's quiet. I mean, granted, I guess 2 in the morning. Why is it that most of these UFOs are only seen at night? Why isn't it? It's 2:53. Why can't it just appear? Why do I have to come out at night to see Sasquatch?
From some of the online stories, it was noted that where the nuclear power plants and the energy, Seabrook, and where there's an interconnection in the areas in New Hampshire, that's where a lot of the sightings are, not knowing if they're interested in that energy aspect of it, or...
That would make sense, even besides their interest in the energy, if it's just that you're screwing around with the energy so much. When you get nuclear, it changes the atoms, it changes the properties of them, and of course, you're just changing the energy. So I would think that that would make sense anyways, don't you think?
I agree. You know, it's daytime, and we could still see something in the daytime.
I just saw it was a hawk. You see it way up high.
Right. Oftentimes, we use the hawk as a symbol of locating a different perspective.
Now we're in Hampton.
That's the arena from Hampton, Seabrook.
I could see how you could imagine anything being here.
Well, I could see how anything could be here. It's very dense.
Yes.
On the side of the road, there's a lot of trees.
Oh, and I'm also trying to see what's around, and I'm also driving, so I have to keep paying attention. Every time I turn around, there's like 3 or 4 cars, so it's a really busy road. I can also imagine how you could be distracted but what might be out there. It's very easy to get distracted because I'm trying to watch the road. It's curvy. There's no lights. And there's a bunch of cars coming at me and behind me. So it's not like some quiet road that your mind can really drift.
So The Kybalion by Three Initiates is a really cool book. You can read it and read it again and keep on getting different information. And yet there's always somewhere else to go with The Kybalion.
And that's always the question that we have is, how do we approach it from a different angle?
We came up with a great answer. We put together a book of trivia on The Kybalion.
And that is one way that we pushed ourselves into looking at it from a different perspective.
Exactly. And so if you're listening to our podcast and you want to go further into more of the energy, you gotta check this ebook out because it will propel you.
And it's only pennies.
But it's worth so much more because when you get in that space, if you can have something that can take you and send you somewhere else in the energy in a different way, it's priceless.
Touché.
Hi, Julie here. Susan and I appreciate you listening to our podcast. Did you also know we've written lots of ebooks and books together? Check out the link in our bio. Find us both on Amazon author pages.
If you wear special crystals as jewelry, connect with nature to recharge yourself, put love intentions in your baking for family and friends, you could be called a witch. That may be funny to hear, but not if you get to know Endra. Endra is a witch like none other. Find her story in the Endra Scripts, Anecdotes of a Modern Day Witch. There are 10 plays dabbling in tarot, Reiki, I Ching, aliens, quantum physics, and a whole lot more. There is romance, intrigue, spells, and a very cool kind of magic. The Endra Scripts, available now on Amazon.
Here we are on the road to Shaw's Hill.
Yes, we are in Seabrook. It's beautiful here, all over there. It's beautiful. This is a little bit more what I was looking for. Quiet road with just trees everywhere. It's a highway. Maybe they paved the road. Maybe back in the day it was like a still like back roads. This is like paved two-lane highway.
So the reason I suggested Shaw's Hill is because there are always stories of UFOs around mountains and hills and areas like that. And when I lived in Japan for a while, there were a lot of stories about UFOs and extraterrestrials coming around where the mountains were. It was never, oh, they're downtown in Tokyo. So I just figured, you know, this is UFO Alley and we might as well go to Shaw's Hill because it's a hill. It's very interesting what you said earlier about how come there aren't a lot of stories about UFOs during the day. It's usually at night that you see them. Well, if you think about it, during the day, people are rushing to get where they're trying to get. So you're not really thinking about the ominousness of a nighttime where you're really...
Would ask somebody if you need to be in that frame of mind to be able to see it. So if you're just driving and you're not aware, would you see it? Or do you have to be like we are, going slow and looking around? And we're not looking for UFOs. I'm not looking for a UFO. I'm just looking to drive and say something feel different. Like when we first came down, where you said that looks like a landing strip, that had a whole different feel.
Right.
And that's kind of what I'm, if I'm looking for anything, I'm not looking for a UFO. I'm more looking for that feel of something just changed. Something feels funny.
Right. I think what I was trying to point out about the daytime is that your perspective is more geared towards what it is you're doing, where you're going, what your brain is filling in that you see. And at nighttime, when it, you know, maybe your adrenals are a little tapped into and it's dark and you're not really clear what you're seeing sometimes, that opens up your perception a lot to something different. From online New Hampshire Magazine. And it says, it might be a little early in the day for a UFO sighting to take place, but one can hope. After all, nearby Shaw's Hill, according to the person that they interviewed and others, has so many encounters, it might be the site of a UFO window or stargate. And so that's where we are right now, right on Shaw's Hill. Thought it was interesting to come here to check out the energy. And when we first reached the hill, I was surprised because I thought the road was just going to go to the bottom of the hill, and then you would see the hill, and either we would walk up it, or what happened is the road goes right through the hill, on top of the hill, and there's cars passing.
And they fly. And it's so funny. So the woman we were just talking to, and we said, oh, we asked her about, you know, the whole UFO experience. And she's like, what? Never heard of that. And I can understand why. Because if you're here, you're so preoccupied with where you're going. And we're at the top of a hill. We're between two fields. And there's so much traffic going by.
Heading back now from our Exeter extravaganza. I think all in all, the most energized part of the tour was when we were talking to Barbara, and she was sharing with us about how many people have stepped foot in Exeter and walked around and what pathways we could connect with, where their energy was, especially Abraham Lincoln and George Washington.
These people found themselves in Exeter, New Hampshire. And so there's something there, and whether you want to call it a vortex, whether it's UFOs, there's something that's luring people there. Isn't it funny?
Well, that's where you can get into a conversation of, is it the circumstances that come first or the energy? And I think that's a hard thing to determine.
determined because it's based in whether you're grounded or whether you want to just go with the energy first. And meaning, you know, is it the intuition or is it something that occurs that leads you somewhere? Or are they one and the same?
So we can officially say that we did not see any UFOs. We did, however, bump into Barbara, who was amazing, who gave us great insight.
And confirm, because people go to her to confirm things, because she is the historian, that there are files that they have about UFOs. And I'm not saying that she is saying there's UFOs, but when we said it, there's a history about UFO sightings that she says that's there.
Right. There's a history of UFO sightings.
Right.
Exactly.
She's not saying that, yes, there are. She's saying there's a history. And so there you go. So she confirmed that.
Maybe that there's a history, right,
there
exactly.
Is a history. And, you know, and a history means not one person see it. There's a few people.
There's one street we didn't have a microphone on when we were going down. And all of a sudden we saw this big, black, huge, ominous-looking shadow come out. And fortunately, at that point, there was no one behind us. And I just kind of stopped the car. I'm like, what the heck is this? And then this huge truck came out, and he was on my side of the road. So I literally just stopped, and eventually he made his way back to his side. But that's probably the closest time that I got to, what the heck is this?
I'm not really quite sure if I've ever seen a shadow of a truck on trees.
Never. Never.
So
like that.
I'm not sure if I've ever seen something shadow itself on a tree. So we may ask, what did we see?
So that's the only thing. We did not officially see a UFO, but we did see something. And it was an odd occurrence, and it was the one time that it was a little bit more quieter, and that street was a little bit eerie. The trees were odd shaped, and then we pulled over at one point. We were on Shaw's Hill,
right?
And there was nowhere to park, but this guy pulls into this field next to us, and we think maybe he was a hunter. At that point, we decided to leave. We really didn't have a chance to stop and just embrace the space, because every time we tried to, something kept us moving.
I did get out of the car very briefly, and two amazing hawks circled above the car, and then met two other hawks in the field. That was something to kind of move out of the area and move with the energy, which we did.
Yeah, but we did not officially see a UFO. We didn't see strange lights. We didn't see any of that.
Well, again, the interesting thing you're describing is what other people have said a UFO is and what any kind of connection to that experience is. And for all we know, how do you know people you're talking to exist? And other people see them. You know, that's a crazy kind of thing to say, but the way we are cognizant of things and the way we use our brain, we fill in a lot of segments that we see and that we understand, and our brain just does so much work that sometimes it's lazy in that way. How do we know that perspective? And that's why I focused on the hawks, because the hawks always symbolize what's the perspective that you're gleaning.
The energy speaks in however way it's going to. And the fact that the energy will have things occur that will make you feel a certain way that will make you move. And that was like with today. Exeter was beautiful. And then when we were through some of the back roads, everything kept like, move fast to get out. And so we did it. That's why the energy is always there. It doesn't matter where you are. But for whatever the reason, today wasn't the time for us to experience what we would consider a traditional UFO sighting.
Right.
But it was nonetheless a very heavy, energy-laden day.
Right. Well, we always experience energy in the way that we do.
Right. Thanks to everyone we met with.
Until next time.
This has been a production of EI Publishing in association with EI Alliance. Listen to other episodes and visit eipublishing.com to find more energized podcasts and books. Find New Threads' self-titled album, New Threads, on iTunes, Spotify, Bandcamp, or at newthreads.us. Thank you for listening.